Don't you love to see young people getting baptized? Is this thing picking up? Is that good? Do you guys picking up? You guys can hear me okay? All right. All right. Joe, say something.
In 2020, the Lord...
Oh, hang on. I just wanted to make sure it picked you up. Okay. We'll ask that question in just a second. Okay. Just making sure this is working. All right. This is Joe. Joe is one of the youth here, and Joe has... the Lord's been working on Joe, and so I'm going to let him share that. And so, Joe, do you have a profession to make?
I do.
Okay.
In 2020, I was hearing lies, not the truth of the Lord, but I felt one day, I felt he was there, and he called me to be baptized.
All right. All right. Okay. So, the enemy's been lying to Joe for a long time. And through the Holy Spirit and through the ministry, the youth ministry here, he has come and given his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, I want to be baptized. And so he's coming to profess his faith in Jesus Christ this morning. All right. And upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to love him, to live for him, and if need be, brother, die for him, in obedience to his command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
Thank you,
buddy. Thank you. All right. Come on up, Miss Angela. All right, this is Angela. Just to let you guys know, I received, you'll get this testimony one of these days. I have confidence in the Lord, but I received another testimony email this week that just really... It blessed my heart so much, and so I can't wait till you guys get to hear it too. But part of that is she's going to share a little bit.
Yeah. I actually just started attending this church on Easter Sunday. My husband had decided that he wanted to go back to church for at least Easter. I haven't attended since I was 8 years old, and we decided, okay, we're going to do this. And we came in, we sat through the service, and I decided right then and there we were coming back every Sunday. And then on Memorial Day weekend, when we were in church on that Sunday, I decided it was time. It was after praying on it and struggling with it that I was ready to be baptized. And I decided at worship that night to actually ask Pastor to pray for me too. And since then, it's been like a boulder lifted off my shoulder. And it just seems like my whole world has changed. And I'm getting more and more devoted into my religion and more devoted to Jesus and God, and learning whatever I can every chance I get.
Amen. Amen. You guys remember worship night? She came forward. Worship night. She came forward and said she was done. The Lord was her Savior. Yeah.
He's been watching over me since.
Amen to that. Well, here's the thing. He's been watching over you to get you to that point as well.
Definitely.
Yeah. And upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, in obedience to his command to be baptized, to love him, to live for him, and sister, if need be, die for him, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Come on up, guys. Give her eyes back. She needs to walk. You get baptized and we keep your glasses. We got a mom and a daughter. Chastity and Juliet.
Yeah.
That is nice. Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Yeah. You're afraid it's gonna be cold, huh? Come on in, Jewel.
I didn't. Come on in.
This is chastity. Oh, sorry, I got my hand stuck in your hair. This is chastity. All right?
Yeah.
This is chastity. You hear all that love?
Yeah.
You hear all that love? Chastity gets a little bit nervous when she has to talk. She's like, I'm not going to remember the words. And I was like, I'll help you. All right? I'll help you. Do you have a profession to make?
I do.
Yeah.
And it is. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Amen to that. Amen to that. And upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, in obedience to his command to be baptized, to love him, to live for him, and sister, if need be, die for him, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Don't thank me. You thank the Lord. He's doing the work, right? So you come on, we'll switch places. We'll switch places.
Don't be scared, honey.
Here's the thing. You might not be able to ride some of the rides at Disneyland, but you can fit in the baptismal. Yeah? All right, I'm going to have you step just right over here. Maybe that one. There we go. Is that good? Can you hold on to that? There we go. All right. This is Juliet, right? We had a little conversation, and Juliet, she knows the gospel, and she knows that Jesus is her Lord and Savior. So, Juliet, do you have a profession to make? You're brave. You've got this, okay? You ready? What is your profession? Jesus saved her, just in case you couldn't hear that. Jesus saved her. Yeah. And upon your profession of faith and your trust in the salvation of Jesus Christ and him alone, sister, I baptize you in obedience to his command to love him, to live for him, and if need be, die for him. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There you go. Close your wrist right there. Okay, yeah, plug your nose. You ready? Okay, you're okay. Buried with him in baptism. Raised to walk in newness of life. Thing about baptism, it's an ordinance for the church. It doesn't mean that the pastor has to do it. If the pastor doesn't have to baptize everybody. Baptism is what he calls the church to do. And so what a blessing it is to get to be a part of this. And so Alan, Alan gets to baptize. It's just, for me, this is so exciting. We get a family here, and we get to see this, and so we get to be a part of this, and so we just rejoice.
This thing on?
Oh yeah, it's on.
Well, Stefan, do you have a profession?
Yes, I do. In 2021 through 2022, I was being spiritually attacked by Satan. And when I came to the Lord, he had saved me, and he is my Savior and my Lord.
Amen. Amen to that.
Well, Stefan, among your profession of faith as Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior, in your first step of obedience, in your promise to love Him, to live for Him, and if need be, die for Him, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Him in baptism. Raised with Him a new life.
All right. Good morning, everybody. That was really nice, starting with the baptisms. Congratulations, all you guys. And if you haven't tried it out, you need to come try it out, the tub. All right. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Are you walking?
Hear the sound rushing We With all my heart, I praise the Lord. And with all that I am, I praise His holy name. With all my heart, I praise the Lord. I will never forget how kind He has been.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Are children dismissed? Or not yet? Okay, everybody have a seat. We have a testimony.
We had VBS in Lovelock this past week, the last 3 days of this last week, and I'm gonna have Julie share some testimony just because to hear her share the testimony about VBS is just a huge blessing. And so anyway, it was amazing. I'm not gonna say any more because I don't know what she's gonna say. So you just get ready. Anyway.
Hello. Okay, yeah. My name is Julie, and I had the privilege of going to Lovelock with several others to do VBS. Now, Lovelock is a very small church. They have like 3 core members, so there aren't too many children, but they decided to have VBS. So it was going to be very interesting. They really stepped up and decorated. I mean, you know how we decorate for VBS. They did equally just as well. It was wonderful. The first day, I forget how many kids we had the first
20.
Day. 20 kids the first day. The second day, we had 30 kids. And the last day, we had 27. And I'll tell you, these kids, they would put us to shame with their worship. I have never seen kids be so excited. I mean, we didn't even know these kids. They were kids that came from the neighborhoods. They put out some flyers. And I know they say that oftentimes people will bring their children to be babysat or something with a VBS. But these kids, they came, and they were so excited about Jesus. They sang their hearts out. One little girl came up to me. Her name was Willow. She was about 6 years old. And she says, "Can I pray over the food before we eat?" Well, what are you going to say? Of course you can, you know. So I let Alan and Jonathan and everything let them know, hey, this little girl wants to pray over the food. And she did just that. Then during worship, those kids, they all wanted to pray. They all wanted to pray. So Alan says, okay, you know what? Let's get in a circle, and that's what we're going to do, give you the opportunity to pray. And those kids prayed. It was simply amazing. I was so blessed by it all. So I am challenging, are our kids still in here?
Yes.
And they're coming for VBS next month. I'm challenging you guys, listen, God is so good, and Jesus is so good. I challenge you to pray, and I challenge you to worship like these little kids did. I think we have a video, but I don't know if it's ready today.
I don't think the video's ready
today. Yeah, not ready today,
no.
But you'll see. And it was fabulous. I wish more people could have been there to enjoy it. It was fabulous. Jesus is so good.
Amen. Amen. All right. Now, children are dismissed. Man, it's been a good day already, hasn't it? All right. So you would think that the sermon would be shorter, right?
Okay, you know me. Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. It has been such a great and amazing day already. We're just going to continue in God's Word. It is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. I'm buying a little time until some of the adults get to come back in, at least start making their way back in. But we did. So for VBS up in Lovelock, we put a barbecue on from 12 to 1, and then VBS started at 1 o'clock. And so when Julie says, you know, little Willow, she wanted to pray for the food, not the snack time during VBS. She wanted to pray for the meal before anybody started eating. And so it was just very, very exciting, very encouraging. It was a very blessed time. Them kids were dancing and just having a good time and singing. It was, man, running around. And then, you know, we had to do water day on the last day. And so there were water balloons and squirt guns. And Al and I went and bought some prizes for these kids memorizing scripture, this, that, and the other. And I bought these water sticks, right? I didn't know they were going to be used against me. I would have never purchased those, or I would have put holes in them at least, you know. And so those are Henri children, Julie. As much as you say they worship the Lord, I don't know what they were doing when water came out. But it was a lot of fun. And here's the thing. You know that your pastor's a child, so they shot me with those water sticks, and I got the garden hose. And I ain't joking. I don't play fair. I don't care that they're this big, right? If there would have been a fire hose, that's what they would have got. But it wasn't available. But no, it really was a wonderful time. And so I have to thank this church, because Lovelock is an endeavor that God led this church to do, to take on, and so to be a part of. And so that means that your offerings, your givings, your tithe, when we put them into mission and we use those mission dollars to put VBS on in a place like Lovelock, it's because you're giving. And so I want to thank you for that. And so just so you know, there is a church that, praise the Lord, right? And just so that there's no confusion, the Great Commission is for us to go and make disciples. And so for anybody who says, man, why would you go to Lovelock and do this? Julie just said there's only 3 or 4 members, because there is a church that needs to be revitalized. There are some people who need Jesus. There are a few people who have Jesus. And so guess what? We've been called. This is our part. And so praying about that, be giving to that. We're just fulfilling the Great Commission in the ways that God has called us to. And so it's an amazing blessing to get to be a part of that. And so we're just praying for some of you know me. And so, like, I'm already praying for what's next. I mean, we just got started in Lovelock, and I'm like, man, where are we going next, right? Not to take our eyes off of Lovelock, but like, okay, we got started. We're going to get things in motion, and we're going to start seeing people grow, and we have seen some growth. Here's the thing. Let me tell you, you guys have been praying for Jimmy, right? Right? You've been praying for Jimmy. Keep praying for Jimmy. These past couple Saturdays that we've gone out, this close to a breakthrough, I'm telling you. This close. The Lord is calling. The Lord is calling me, calling him, and the enemy is holding him tighter and tighter and tighter. So be praying. We've got to see Roman actually come to the Lord and actually change, right? The Lord's been changing him. And like, he's a father and a husband for the first time, according to his own testimony, for the first time since him and Rose have been together. God is working. God is doing amazing things. And so here's the thing. I get to look forward to the next thing, not because of all the people that are going to come to Lovelock, because guess what? He's already given us a vast multitude to go out and reach the world, sitting right here in this congregation. Yeah. How about another amen?
Amen.
That's right. That's right. We're called to that. And it's what God calls us to. And so be praying about what your part is in the Great Commission, because you got a part. We all do. All right, we're going to continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I was like, okay, it's Father's Day. So what should the Father's Day sermon? One of my battles as a pastor is like, okay, when these holidays come, it's like, okay, so what do I preach? Do I preach specifically on the holidays and specifically to just the fathers? And you moms and daughters and stuff, you guys just get to take a break. No. We can't do that. We can't do that. We're going to preach to fathers, but we're going to preach to everybody. And so as I was studying, getting ready this week, I was like, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're just going to pick up where we left off. You know why? Because we're picking up at foundation building. And so today we're going to talk about foundation builders. And fathers, here's the thing. You're the first in this list. You're the first in this line of foundation builders. Now, we get to talk and we get to preach to everybody because the Bible preaches to all of us. The Bible calls all of us. And so women, don't think that you're not foundation builders. But here on Father's Day, the call is fathers, men, you are to step up and start the foundation building. You're called to it. You're commanded to do it. And so when we don't, we are not being obedient to what God has called us to. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to start here at verse 10. Verse 9 says, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building." He's talking about the church in that. And you'll remember we talked about milk and we talked about meat and we talked about how milk is not bad for an infant. Milk is not bad for a baby, but a 40-year-old breastfeeding is very perverse and very sick. And so he calls that to the church, and he brings that attention to the church. He says, here's the thing, you're the building. And so you guys should not be on milk anymore. You guys should be moving up. Hebrews says, listen, you should be teaching. And so part of this foundation, we have to be settled. We have to be secure in the foundation to know what to teach or to be able to teach. But if we're still stuck in the foundation building process, then we're in big trouble. We're not going to grow. We're not going to move on. And so we're going to pick up on verse 10. And if you'll stand, as Paul, we'll get into the word here. You'll stand as we read God's word. And we'll get into a couple of things, speaking of this foundation, speaking of these builders, and speaking of all these things that Paul draws our attention to. I'm reading out of this. This is scripture. Don't be like, oh, man, pastor's preaching out of some book. It's scripture. Don't worry, okay? These are actually, if you're a guest here, we want you to take a guest bag. We have one of these in the guest bag with other things for you, and it's actually 1 Corinthians, the book of 1 Corinthians, in the translation or in the version that we're going through. But this is so you can take notes and all kinds of stuff. So if you're a guest, please make sure you get one of these, and you can follow along as you continue to join us week by week. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 10. If you're there, say amen. "According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple." Let's pray. Father, we come before you today, Lord, and we just want to just, as we've just read the words, Lord, and Holy Spirit, I pray that you've been putting the weight upon those words on our hearts. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would just speak to us, that you would just move us, that, Lord, as you're calling us to be more like you, Lord, we confess in this moment, in this time right now, we can't do it apart from you doing it in us. And so, Lord, we pray for change. Lord, I don't pray for change for my neighbor. I don't pray for change for my spouse. I don't pray for change for my children. I pray for change in my heart. Lord, make me a new person. Make me a new creation so that you will be glorified. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. All right, have a seat. Father's Day. Father's Day, fathers are influenced. I know the video, hey, that video was sent to me, and it just cracked me up because it's so true. Typically, here's the thing. In church, this is how it goes. Church attendance statistically has been Christmas, Easter, Mother's Day. Those are the three top, right? And you know why Father's Day, not just as far as the world, but even in church, you know why Father's Day comes so low on the poll? Here's the thing. Look outside. Isn't that beautiful? See a little bit of wind? How many of you like to go camping? How many of you like to go fishing? How many of you like to go do all these other things? Because Father's Day, and listen, we're talking about foundation building. So we're going to talk about foundations. We're going to talk about builders. I love scriptures like this because, man, I like to build foundations, like actual house foundations. That's the core. That's the root. Everything is built off of that. And so Father's Day, you look outside. Well, here's the problem in this country, and here's the problem with, and we're not going to bash on the problems for too long, but we have to state it clearly to know how to fight against it. Not to call others to task. To call ourselves to where we need to be. Because here's the deal. Oh, it's Father's Day. What do you want to do for Father's Day? I want to go fishing. I want to go camping. I want to do all these types of things. And here's what happens. In a lot of these holidays, we start worshiping or idolizing the fathers, the mothers, whoever the holiday is named after, instead of worshiping God. We're talking about foundations. Our foundation always has to be in Christ Jesus. And so you'll get, and I've heard this recently, I'm committed to Jesus, just don't call me to commit to everything. Well, if you're committed to Jesus, then your commitment is to Jesus. And your church attendance, your church serving, your church everything, your spiritual prayer, your spiritual Bible reading, all of that stuff is Christ. I'm not saying you can't go camping. I'm not saying you can't go fishing. But I'm saying who's actually being worshipped in your heart and in your life. Not just because it's Father's Day. Man, the weather's starting to turn nice. I think it's done raining, I think. And so, man, people are going to be going to the lake like crazy. My issue is not, are we going to the lake? Are we going camping? Are we enjoying the other things of life? My issue is not that. My issue is, does this stuff come before God? That's what we have to ask. And so today is Father's Day, and here's the deal, fathers. We're the foundation builders. But you can't build on something, you can't build on something that you don't have. Today in the trades, right? Today in the trades, everything is so individualized. Everything is like, okay, so you have the excavator, he comes in and he digs the hole, he compacts the ground, he gets it ready for the concrete, right? And the concrete foundation, many of you think of the foundation being the concrete, and that is typically called the foundation because it's put in the earth, but it's got to be put in stable ground. And then the framers come, and they're different, right? The framers come, they frame the thing, and then there's typically a siding group. Sometimes that's in the framers. There's a roofer, that's different. There's electricians, they're different. There's plumbers, they're different. All these things are different. And you say, okay, Pastor, where are you going with it? Well, here's the story. This is what Paul says. He says, here's the deal. There's a foundation that has to be laid. Everybody has to start from the same place, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. Everything is built off of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul uses some language here, and in this language, he says, okay, the foundation that is laid, nobody else can lay another foundation. If somebody starts to lay another foundation, run. Hey, listen, I built your house. I built your house, okay? I built your house on these PVC pipes, okay? And it's on the edge of a cliff, and the wind blows like 150 miles an hour this way. And I didn't put the pipes this way, and I didn't bury the pipes. No, I put the pipes this way. But don't worry, I put these really good skids on there. How many of you are going to move into that house? Nobody? I'm a good builder. You're like, the wind is going to push that thing because it's not secured. It's not locked down, right? In fact, everything that you did is actually not beneficial and not locking down because you didn't start off the thing. And so it'll all go to waste. It'll all end in destruction because it's not settled in a firm foundation. And so here's the deal. I laid a foundation, Paul says. And he's talking about the church, not the building. He's talking about the church. If you're in Christ, you're the building. You are only part of the building. Listen, you're part of the building because of the foundation that has been laid. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. You're a part when you trust in that foundation. So now when you build off of that, everything must be built off of that foundation. Do you know if a foundation is out of square, you'll find it in the building? You know why carpenters used to do all their own stuff? Because here's the thing. They wanted to make sure their foundation was square. You talk to a framer who has to build on an out-of-square foundation, the first thing he starts saying is, hey, I didn't pour the concrete. Right? I didn't pour the concrete. And he's going to do his best to try to, he's going to do his best to try to compensate and try to make up for that. But guess what? You'll find that the house still ends up out of square. It's because the foundation was out of square. When you build on an out of square foundation, everything else is built out of square as well. And so the foundation must be Christ. And this is what Paul's saying. Listen, I laid the foundation. Paul didn't come up with it. Paul says this. He says, I am a skilled master builder is what he used. Now that terminology, he's not being boastful, okay? He's not saying, I'm a skilled master builder. I know everything about God, and so everybody needs to follow and listen to me. No, the wording, what he's actually using in the language, is that he is a project manager. Now the days have changed. We used to call them superintendents, but now you can project manage from an office without ever stepping foot on a job site. That's not what Paul says. Paul says, I'm a project manager because I've been through the whole thing. I've been through it, and God has called me. And so Paul says, listen, I came and I laid the foundation, but now what I do is I get other people to build off of that foundation. That's what he states right here. He says, I'm a skilled master builder. I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. And so the foundation is Christ. Now here's where we come. I come up here and preach the gospel. I come up here and preach the word to you guys. The foundation has been laid. You're the builders. Paul says, I am the skilled. I'm the project manager. He says, and other people build on that foundation. This is where he's calling the church. So he's calling the church to continue to build. He said, that's your job. Your job is to continue to build. Anybody part of a building project? Ever? Right? You notice how many different people come in to do that project? There's a lot of different trades and there's a lot of different things to make a completed project. The church is no different. Paul had just previously used a picture of agriculture, of farmers. How many of you are farmers? Right? The ground is tilled, you plant the seed, you water it, the fruit is produced, right? That's kind of how all that works. There's steps that have to be taken place for there to be a fruit. It's the same thing with the building. The building is the church. The building is the body of believers. Who do you think builds it? It ain't the pastor's job, not his alone. It ain't the Sunday school teachers or the small group leaders. It ain't, they're a part of it. But the building of the church is building off of the foundation. It's all of us together. Because just because I'm the pastor doesn't mean I don't take part in any of the other stuff. I'm the pastor, so I don't have to go to a small group. I don't have to go to anybody. I don't have to have anybody hold me accountable. I don't have to do that because I'm the pastor. That's not at all what it's saying. But we are to build off of the foundation that is Christ. And so that's what he calls us to. That's the church. And so the foundation has to be set. And the foundation is Christ. And so here's this church. This church continues to build off of the foundation. Listen, we become the church when we trust in the foundation. When the foundation is dug, when the rebar is set, the concrete is poured, and it's time for the framers, then guess what? The framers get to work. And so we build. Now here's where I want to get specific, let's say. When I talk about fathers, it's Father's Day, so fathers are going to get called out. Now, he makes something very clear here. He says, let each one of you, right? Let each one of you, here it is right here, excuse me, at the end of verse 10. Let each one of you take care or take concern or take thought how he builds on that foundation. Okay. So the foundation is Christ. Listen, it's Father's Day. Men, we are called to be the leaders. We are called to rule, not rule with an iron fist. We are called to rule. You didn't lay the foundation. God laid the foundation for you. Now you show your children, now you show your spouse how to have the same foundation. Then you continue to build in your family. Listen, where you build first is not in this building. Where you build first is in your house. That's what he calls us to. And so this is where, here's the thing, listen, this is where we fail the most. Because it's easy to come to church and build here. It's easy to come to church and build here because, well, here's the thing. I have a position, or I have this, or people don't know the true depths and the true identity of myself. You know why? It's because you let your foundation waver. And so we start at home. We start at home and we build. We lay the foundation because the foundation has been laid for us. And somebody else built upon that foundation. And so you start to build upon it. Now, part of that building is making sure things are put in place. Guess what? It doesn't mean you do everything. Everybody inside your family has a role indeed as well. Your kids get a certain amount of responsibility for their own spiritual growth, even when they're little. And so this does not mean, Father, that if they say a goofy prayer, that you'd be like, oh, no, you've got to pray like this. No, there's something about encouraging and leading. And he says, let each one take care. Now listen, this pours over into the church. Let each one take care. We have churches that are like a mess in so many different ways. You know why? Because we're serving ourselves. We're not serving the Lord. We forget that all of this that we do is for His glory. Here's the thing. If I preach a bad message, you know why? It's because I wasn't spending time with the Lord. It's because I was more focused on other things than focusing on making sure He got His glory. Now, me preaching a bad message or a good message depends on my walk with Him, my time with Him, not in if I read the right translation, not if I stuck exactly to my notes that I had written out before, and oh yes, I make sure I say it. No. Because the Spirit is moving and we're rejoicing in what He's doing. Now that doesn't mean we're absent the Word. If I haven't spent time in my Word, then I shouldn't be up here preaching. And so when He says, take care, listen, we have to take thought of how we build. First and foremost, fathers. First and foremost, church. How solid is your foundation? How solid is your foundation? And I'm talking, here's the thing. You want to hear some foundational things? How's your walk? How's your prayer? How's your obedience? How's your purity? How's your patience? How's your faith? We're going to talk about some of these things. How's your vision? I'm not talking your glasses. He talks about taking care, taking thought, taking concern about how you build. This is a call to the churches. This is a call to fathers. Yes, mothers, you're included. Yes, young adults, you're included. You need to take concern about how you build. If you think that this life in Christ is about I'm saved and I do whatever I want, then you're not building proper. Because you just put yourself back on the throne. And so we build on the foundation of Christ Jesus. That means you run everything by Christ. You run everything by Christ. And here's the truth and here's the fact. It means submission. The problem is we don't want to be submitted to what Christ just might say. Obedience is costly. It will cost you to be obedient. You know why we don't want to be obedient? Because we don't want to pay the cost. How many of you, when you think, you're like, oh man, I don't want God to call me here because I'll have to let go of what? Man, we were talking last night and there was this example brought up of this person in church driving a Lexus and saying, hey, look, I got this brand new Lexus and Jesus brought it to me, this, that, and the other. And it was shared about how, oh, there was judgment in my heart. Basically, it's kind of what comes out. And for that person, not the person driving the Lexus, for that person had to let his heart be in a place or get in a place or have the Lord put it in a place to where they could rejoice that somebody got a Lexus. And here's the thing. How many of you are thinking, people buying Lexuses isn't necessarily godly. Well, how can you prove it's ungodly? For us to tell what other people are doing is ungodly when it's not clear in Scripture. And so the point was brought up like this. Should that person have to drive a Kia Sophia, right, instead of a Lexus, just to look holy? Anybody know how many people were in Abraham's house? Anybody? Not just kids, people he brought into his house. Well, he had 318 trained soldiers. How many of you got 318 Navy SEALs living in your house at your disposal? Any of you? How about just Marines, all right? Like, if you're a Marine, I apologize. I wasn't saying the Navy SEALs were better. I apologize. We'll deal with that on. Okay. But none of that stuff was important to Abraham. Right? None of that stuff was important to Abraham. You know what was important to Abraham? God and his righteousness. And so this foundation, the things that you build off are going to come from that foundation. And so when you set everything in the perspective of Christ, listen, if you drive a Lexus, this is nobody, it's not to badmouth you. It's not what it is. If you drive a Kia Sophia, it doesn't mean you're less godly. It's not in what you drive, it's what you honor God with. And so the foundation is Christ. The foundation is Christ, and so we build off of that. And so what are the things that we build off of? Now, I want you to listen to this because I don't want to miss this. He says this. For nobody can lay a foundation, here's the thing. If anybody builds on the foundation with he brings some precious things, right? He says gold, silver, or precious stones. And then he says wood, hay, and straw. Okay? So he brings up three things that are valuable, and he brings up three things that aren't so valuable, unless you try to build a house and you realize how valuable wood is nowadays. But anyway, so he talks about these precious things, and he talks about these things that will be burnt up. And what he's bringing, he says, listen, when you build off of this foundation with these things, and so we have to say, okay, so what are these things? I don't want you to think of these simple things as just this. So I'm going to read a list of things that fathers should do, things that we should do. I'm going to read you a list, and I'm going to give you some scriptures that go with those lists. But I want you to be thinking, as I read this, if these are precious and valuable or if these are wood, hay, and stubble. The difference between the two is that some will stand the test of fire and some will be burned up. So I'm going to read this to you, okay? This is what fathers should do. This is what a church should do. Fathers should influence with prayer. And listen, Paul knew the person of prayer. Ephesians 3, 11 and 12. Paul knew how to pray, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Paul depended on prayer, 1 Thessalonians 5:25. Fathers should influence with obedience like Joshua. Joshua was obedient in his report of the land of Canaan, Numbers 14:6 through 9. He was obedient in crossing the Jordan, Joshua 3:13 through 17, one of my favorite stories. He was obedient in conquering Jericho, Joshua 6:3 through 5 and 20. Fathers should influence with purity like Joseph. Oh, here's one. This one strikes, right? In a time, in a day, in an age where purity is very, very hard to find. But fathers should influence with purity, like Joseph. Joseph was a goodly person, meaning pure, 39:6. He resisted the temptation. Remember Potiphar's wife? 39:12. He exchanged kindness for hatred. Because he had a pure heart. Genesis 37:28 and 42:16. How about this one? Fathers should influence with patience like Job. Job had patience when he lost his family. Job had patience when he lost his health. Job had patience that ended in reward. Fathers should influence with faith like Abraham. By faith, Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees. By faith, Abraham journeyed to Canaan. By faith, Abraham offered Isaac. Fathers should influence with decisions like Moses. Moses chose against being Pharaoh's daughter's son. Moses chose against sin. Moses chose against Egypt's treasures. Fathers should influence with a vision like Noah. Noah's vision was of a perishing world. Noah's vision was a way of escape. Noah's vision brought him safety. And so when I read those things, those are all things that we are commanded as fathers, we are commanded as men, we are commanded as the body of Christ. Those are some deeds. Those are the things that he calls us to. Now, as I read those things, how many of you think that those are all the things that will stand the test of fire? It's okay. You can put your hand up. Go ahead. Those are all good things. Those are all things God calls us to. How many of you think those will stand the test of fire? Okay. How many of you are just going to raise your hand for this one? How many of you think they're going to be burned up? Okay. Now, let me give you some other things. These would be pretty easy ones. Deceit, sexual impurity, greed. But does that sound like wood, hay, and stubble? How many of those think that those are going to stand the test of time, the test of fire? How many of you think those are going to be burned up? Right? How many think those things are going to be burned up? Right? And so here's the thing. Now he says, now be careful how you build, the things that you build, because here's the thing. They're all going to be tested by fire. So I want you to know that all of those things that we say, oh man, those will stand the test of time. When he's talking about will be tested by fire, it's not the thing that you did, it's the heart that you did them with. It's the intent that you did with. Because here's the thing, there are many prayers that are going to be burned up. There's many prayers that are wood, hay, and stubble. And you're like, oh, how can you say that? I'm praying to God. Because here's the thing, you're not really praying to God. There are people who voice prayers because they just think that in some way that God has to listen to the prayers. You know what the scripture says about the prayers of the wicked? God does not hear them. He will not hear them. And so we have to be careful when we say, oh, just cry out to God. It'll be fine. He'll hear you. No, no, no. If your intention is to continue in wickedness after, he's not listening to your prayer. And many of us are like, whoa, is that true? Yeah, it's true. How about obedience? If your obedience was just for you to get something out of the deal, it's wood, hay, and stubble. If your obedience is that God would be glorified and that his will would be done, that's when it becomes a precious stone. That's when it becomes a jewel. That's when it becomes gold. So all of these things that I listed, we have to be careful with good deeds and good works. We have to be careful with our Christian practices that we are called to do. But he so much more doesn't just call you to do it. He so much more calls you to, why are you doing it? Are you saved? Are you seeking him? Do you want his will to be done? Do you want his glory to be shown? Or do you have selfish desires of the flesh? And so when he says, take care of how you build, of what you build on it, just because you're doing something godly, something religious, does not mean that it will stand the test of the fire. Listen, he brings a couple things about the fire. First of all, I want to tell you, all works will be exposed to the fire. Everything you have done in your life will be brought to the fire. Listen, Pastor, you say that in Christ, there's no condemnation, right? The Bible makes that clear. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But your works will be put against the fire. All of your works. You no longer have to answer if you're in Christ Jesus, if you're actually saved, if you've been made a new creation. You don't have to pay for those works that would condemn you. But you could still be building with wood, hay, and straw. All of your works will come to the fire of God. Now, let's go a little bit further. I'm not out of time yet. When all of these works, it says they will be revealed by fire, the fire will test them, and through fire. Revealed by fire. Here's I'm going to take you to this. The Holy Spirit, right, when the Holy Spirit comes on the first church, he comes like what? Okay? Well, they spoke with tongues of fire, right? Come like a mighty rushing wind. Spoke with tongues of fire. The fire also does what? It consumes the incense. The fire does what? It consumes the sacrifice as well. The fire also does what? Leads the people. The fire is the Holy Spirit of God. And so I want you to know right now, when you're like, oh man, in the end, all of these works are going to be revealed by fire. I'm telling you right now, if the Holy Spirit is not revealing to you the works that you have right now, check your salvation. All of your works will be revealed by fire. It means that the fire is going to reveal the work. It means it's going to start to bring it out. The fire is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when you come to Christ, The Word of God tells us that the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residency in your heart. Now the things you do, not your conscience. Listen, your conscience can make you a quote-unquote good person in the world, but it's when the Holy Spirit of God actually changes your mind and actually makes you a new creation that it's no longer your conscience telling you just to do a good thing. It's a whole new motivation that is not something you can conjure up. You cannot conjure up the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals the works in the Christians in their daily lives. And so you don't have to wait. You can come to Christ and have the Spirit of God reveal to you your current works. Then they're going to be tested by fire. Listen, you have the Holy Spirit of God showing you what you're to do, enabling you to do what He calls you to do, making it possible. If you're living this life in your own strength, then you're not being led by the Spirit of God. And so the Holy Spirit will reveal these works to you. This thing you're getting ready to do. In fact, how about this? You ever have something that comes to your heart, something that comes to your head, and you're like, man, I'm supposed to, and you're like, why would I do that? And you're like, man, that is totally not of me. But a good thing, not like, man, I would never think of robbing the bank, but why did that come to mind? No, not that. You know what I mean. The good, godly thing. That person who's really, really difficult, and you know that you're supposed to reach out to them, and you're like, man, that is not me. That's one of the ways you know that it's the Spirit of God. Because He starts calling you into obedience. He starts to reveal works to you. Now, here's the next thing. They are tested by fire. Your work will be tested by fire. It will come through. You have the Holy Spirit who is interceding on your behalf, right? He's your paraclete. He's your counselor. He's your advocate, right? So He's taking from God and telling you. But you know what that also means? I don't want you to think of it like this, like he also has to answer to God too. Now, they're one, but I want you to listen. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would not speak of His own. He would take from Jesus who got from God. And so the Holy Spirit is not speaking on His own. He does have His own authority, but He's not speaking on His own authority. And so when He tells you something, He's speaking in authority. And so when it says it's tested in the fire, how many of you have ever been disobedient to something the Holy Spirit told you? Now, we're going to talk about guilt for just a second. There's a difference between guilt and conviction. When you think of that time that you were disobedient to the Holy Spirit, didn't it start to burn inside of you? Right? And you're like, oh, how many of you turned around? Right? God told you, maybe it's just something as simple as like, you're supposed to talk to somebody, you're supposed to give them a dollar, you're supposed to whatever, buy them a meal, and you just drove right on past. And the Holy Spirit started to what? He started to reveal by fire in your heart that was not the right thing to do. And so your heart starts to get on fire. And so what do? You turn around. And you're obedient. Listen, I'm not going to talk about instant obedience. We need to pray for that, right? We all need to pray for that. But the Holy Spirit has just tested your work. Listen, this is how this is active now. Many of us think, I don't want the danger of you thinking that, okay, I'll just start doing more good godly works, and I'll just start outweighing my bad ones. You can get into that mindset as a Christian too, and like, oh man, by the time my life is over, I'll just make sure I have this whole stack. Christians think that too. I'm telling you, this is applicable today. The Holy Spirit will reveal the things to you that you're supposed to do. And when you're obedient or not obedient, the fire, the testing of the fire, the Holy Spirit comes and says, hey, listen, is that what I told you to do? Okay. And then so He leads you into obedience. He leads you to obedience. And only the works that are obedient to will make it through the fire. Listen, He talks about the fire revealing, testing, and those that survive. That is active today. The Holy Spirit is active today. And that's how He moves. That's how He speaks. That's how He works in your life, if you'll let Him. But many of us are just like, okay, I'll just try not to do any bad things, and then at the end, I'll just be saved because I won't have a whole bunch of bad things. And you never actually step out into what the Holy Spirit is calling you to. You never actually step out and enjoy your Christian life. Man, this Christian life, it's a blast. I tell you what, man, seeing them kids in Love Lock, I'm with Julie. Man, them kids are up there, they were doing this thing, you know, and I just, but I'm telling you, they were singing songs on Friday. They sang one of these songs, and they were so loud, they would have drowned us out. That's what Julie's talking about. 27 kids would have drowned out this church. They were singing so loud. That is fun. That is fun. You see, so much we get caught up. Here's the thing. Listen, church. I don't want to make light of sin. That's not what I'm doing here. But if you get so focused, if you get so focused on not sinning, you get so focused on not sinning, you'll actually move into sin because you actually won't be obedient to the things God's calling you to enjoy. You put so many rules in your life so you don't do this, this, or this. You're trusting in your rules. You're trusting in the things that you can do instead of trusting in the Spirit of God to reveal His truth, to reveal His works to you. Listen, I'm not making light saying, hey, go out and sin and just wait and say, hey, Holy Spirit, like that one's on you because you didn't tell me. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm telling you to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, and you'll actually really start to enjoy your life in Christ. You'll really start to enjoy your life in Christ. You start being obedient to Him, and you'll see, man, not just doors of opportunity, but you'll see spiritual doors opening. You'll see all kinds of things starting to open up, and your eyes will start to open to all kinds of things that you never saw. And it's just because, not that you're trying to be disobedient intentionally, it's because you were trying to be obedient to the other side. You were trying to be obedient to legalism instead of being in this relationship, instead of being in the presence of God. Trust me, if you come to God, if you come to Christ, if you come to the Holy Spirit and you say, okay, listen, I need you to reveal this to me, He will. And some of you are sitting here and saying, hey, I've been praying about something for a long time and I haven't gotten an answer. And so how can you say that that's true? Maybe that's not where you need to be focused on. Maybe you need to be asking the Spirit of God, okay, change my focus. What does my focus need to be on? How do I need to change my prayer maybe? Because here's the thing. Your prayers, Jesus said, don't think you'll be heard because of your many words. And so the Holy Spirit might be putting something on your heart that you need to pray for, and you're like, I just keep praying, and nothing's happening. Maybe you're just praying the same prayer. And you're counting on the fact that if you just keep saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, Jesus will finally say, like, okay. You know what He's doing in prayer? He's not waiting for you to change His mind, just so you know, right? Any of you, when you parent, and it doesn't matter how many times your kids say please, doesn't matter how many times they ask you, you're not changing your mind. No, you can't eat the crayons. I'm not going to waver on this. Please, 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 please. And it doesn't matter how many times they ask, please, 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 please. Why don't you let them eat the crayons? I mean, you're not changing their diapers anymore, right? Let's pass that. Because it's not good for them. Because you know that's actually not healthy. And so sometimes the Lord doesn't answer our prayers because what He's doing in the silence is actually drawing you to a closer relationship with Him. Maybe He's just trying to get you open to the fact that He's not just here to just be a genie in a bottle. And He says, I want you to come to me, and I want you to have a conversation with me. And that might be like this. Okay, Lord, why hasn't this prayer been answered yet? Did you know you can ask God questions like that? That's not putting Him to the test. That's coming to know Him better. Anybody ever ask the question why so that you could know the answer? So that you could see the result, right? Not like your five-year-old. Why? 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 They don't want to know. They just want to say, why? 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 They just think that you'll get tired of the why and actually give them what they want. You come to God and say, okay, listen, Lord, why is this one not getting answered? And maybe the Lord will say, you know what, open your Bible. I've got something for you in there. And you'll just, you'll open your Bible and you'll start praying through your Bible and you'll start reading your Bible. And the answer that you've been praying for so long, because you thought that you would be heard because of your many words, he gives you the answer in his word. Because you actually sought him. Right? It's because you actually sought him out. You didn't just say, Lord, I want you to do this. You actually sought him out. Speaking of Job, what happened with Job? God tells Satan, hey, listen, go ahead and go put Job through the ringer. He's not going to deny me. He's not going to deny me. Did Job deny him? No. No. And so God gave Satan these rules, and Job didn't deny him. But what happens at the end? He has a little conversation with God, and God kind of starts asking him some questions. Hey, where were you when I did this? Hey, you know, I mean, all this type of stuff. And was it because God was being mean to Job? No. What was God doing with Job? He was saying, hey, listen, Job, I'm going to let you know me in a way that you've never known me before. You had all this, you had all this, you this. I just want you to know me. I want you to know me in a depth and in a way. You trusted me thus far, and guess what? I give you more of myself. That's what he does. He gives us more of himself. And so in this scripture, when he's talking about, hey, listen, take care of how you build. How are you building? How are you building? We're out of time, so we'll talk about this next week. We'll talk about the rest of it next week. But church, fathers, listen, all of us. Two things. Is your foundation set? And that foundation is Jesus Christ. Not Jesus Christ, as other people say, but Jesus Christ as being God. Jesus Christ, born of Mary, sinless. Sinless perfection, who took your place and then took his life back up again, was raised from the dead. Is your foundation set in that? Because if it is, then it's time to take heed to what you're building with. What is your life in Christ amounting to? What's going to be the end? How about today? Is the Holy Spirit fire revealing, testing, bringing you through? We're not going to have an invitation today. Not of the sorts where come to the altar. The invitation is this. The beauty of God's word and the beauty of the Holy Spirit taking those two together. What he does is he comes and he already works. For as much as on my side, I could have said blah 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 blah, and the Holy Spirit's taking what you need to know to your heart. Many people have come to Christ and they come, Pastor, thank you for the sermon. It's like, okay, what'd you get from the sermon? Oh, this is what the Lord showed me. That was not my sermon. It's okay. I don't take offense. You know why? I don't take offense. I have to be obedient to this, right? It's not my job. It's not my job to save you. It's not my job. That's the Spirit's job, right? We plant, we water. God brings the increase. Paul just said that earlier. But what we are called to is being obedient. It's being sensitive to. But you can't have any of that unless your foundation is firm in Christ Jesus. And so let's pray. Father, we do come and Lord, we ask that you would just be moving in our hearts. Lord, that we would stop trying to achieve good favor, that we would stop trying to achieve salvation for some in here today. That, Lord, it's not based on how well we do something. It's based on us being obedient to what you've called us to. Lord, I have to be obedient to being in my word, to coming up here and saying what you call me to say. Not what I want to say, Lord, not what I think we should say, but Lord, I have to preach your word. Lord, we each have our part that we have to be obedient to. And so, Father, I just pray and I ask that, Lord, the work that we would build, the things that we would build off of would be Christ. But everything we build with would be led by your Spirit. Father, we pray that if there's any wood, hay, and stubble in our lives right now, Lord, would you just put it to the test right now and consume it? Lord, so that we could build with precious stones, with gold, with these things that will last. And so, Lord, I pray for the intentions of many hearts in here today who have been doing Christian things, thinking that those Christian things are going to earn them a reward. Father, I pray for those who don't know you. Lord, that you would draw them to you in this time. Lord, as you're the only one who can save, would you do your saving work? Father, we lift up Jimmy. Lord, we lift up all of those that, Lord, we know right now in this moment, in our own hearts and in our own minds, Lord, we lift them up to you. Lord, and so we ask that you would use us in any way you seem fit. Lord, we are your servants, built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. We thank you and we praise you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. All right, church. All right, church. Hey. Donuts with Dad was earlier, so here's I'm going to say it like this. Now, be careful as you go through the doors, but the donuts are now free reign. Go get them.